There we are. Amen. Lord, we just ask that you would anoint Brother Jim. Lord, that the word that comes from his mouth might be that which comes by the Holy Spirit from your very throne. So we commit that now in the name of Jesus, in your hand, in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Brother Jim.
Amen. God bless you, brethren. Good morning and greetings to you all. I would like to get right into the message. If you could turn to Matthew, the last chapter, chapter 28, and we're going to read the last verses here. We're going to start in verse 16. This is Matthew 28 and verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some still doubted. Now he's only with the 11. It's just the 11, and they saw him and they worshiped him, but some still doubted. Okay, let's go on. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And this is what we call the Great Commission. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So the great commission is really to take the gospel to every nation, every tongue, every people. And the gospel, simply put, means the salvation through Jesus Christ and his blood to take this message to all nations. So I want you to go to a little story. We're still in the book of Matthew. Go back to chapter 15. Kind of an interesting little story here. Now, sometimes when you're reading the scripture and it says, and there was a certain man or a certain woman, it means it's a real person. It's a real situation. And that should mean a lot to every one of us. Because when you're reading the scripture about these people, they're real people that had real situations, just like us. And so let's read about this lady. We're in Matthew 15 and go down to verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. So he's on, basically on the Mediterranean Sea, on the coast there. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the coast, out of the same coast, and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Now, this woman is identified as a Canaanite. And if you would look at the same story over in Mark chapter 7, you would see that they call her the Syrophoenician woman, meaning she was a Greek, a Gentile. She was not a Jew. Okay? And so here's a Gentile woman recognizing that this is the Messiah. This is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Yahshua, HaMashiach. And she's a Gentile. She's a Canaanite. And she said, oh, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now, why?
Mute.
Why is she coming to Jesus?
Mute.
Because her daughter is demon possessed. And it doesn't go into detail about what happens to the daughter, but this, she's grieved. She's grieved. My daughter is grievously vexed. So the mother's grieved. Okay. But verse 23, he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Okay, here's what you call a pregnant pause, a pregnant pause. Jesus said nothing. He waited to see her response. And immediately the disciples jumped in and said, just send her away. She's only a Canaanite. Come on, she's only a Canaanite. Send her away. Now, Jesus replies. Verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent unto the lost sheep. Excuse me, let me start again. I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, this gospel is first to come to Israel. Okay. 25. Then she came. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. She's coming in an attitude of worship, crying out again, help me, Lord, I'm desperate. My dear little daughter that I love so much is vexed by this devil. Now look at Jesus' response. Verse 26. But he answered and said, it is not meet, or it's not, it's not meet appropriate. Okay. It's not appropriate to take the children's bread, meaning the message I have to Israel, and to cast it to dogs. Who are the dogs? Do you know what the Jews call dogs? The Romans, the Gentiles. Anyone who was not a Jew was a dog. Think about this. Talk about a pregnant pause. Let's pregnant pause here. Did Jesus call her a dog? It's not appropriate to take the children's bread that's for Israel and the Jews and to give it to the Gentiles. You're dogs. Okay. Watch this. And she said, truth, Lord. She admitted. Yes, I'm a dog. I'm a Gentile. Brethren, that's humility. That is humility to the highest order. She's vexed and grieved for her daughter. And Jesus calls her a dog, and she humbles herself and worships at his feet and says, I know it, but I'm desperate. Oh, God, help us. She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Jesus answered and said, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. What was the Great Commission? To take the gospel to all nations. And here Jesus is saying, wait a minute, I'm first sent to the house of Israel. And I shouldn't take the bread that's for them and give it to the Gentiles. But yet, that's exactly what he did. What is the message for you and I? This message, this gospel of the kingdom, Jesus' words in Matthew 24, must be preached to all nations. Then the end shall come. Let's move on. I want you to go to the book of Ruth. Way back before Kings, before Samuel, the book of Ruth, and go right to the last chapter of Ruth. There's only four chapters, so we'll go to chapter 4. And, where do we start here? Well, I have to pick up the thought in verse 10. So we're in the book of Ruth, chapter 4, verse 10. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place, you are witnesses. This is Boaz speaking, okay? And all the people that were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman like unto the house of Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like unto the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, verse 13, and she was his wife. And he went in unto her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he said unto thee, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, laid it in her bosom, and became a nurse unto it. And the women and her neighbors gave it a name, saying, this, there is a son born to Naomi, and called his name Obed, and his father, he is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, look at the genealogy. Now, these are the generations of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Now, wait, let's stop for a minute. Who is Perez? The son of Judah. Who is Perez's mother, Tamar. If you remember, Tamar played the harlot because Judah delayed what he was supposed to do and give the youngest son in marriage. Okay, so let's go on. Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begat Nashon. Nashon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz. Okay, so who was Boaz's father? Salmon, of the tribe of Judah. Who was his mother? Come on, who was his mother? Rahab, the harlot, the Canaanite. She was a Canaanite woman. Amen. This gospel of the kingdom is to be preached to all nations. First, to the house of Israel, but to go to all nations. Now let's go on. Salmon, verse 21, begat Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. And Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. Obed, his name means he who worships. Obed. Isn't it interesting? You go down the line, and David is bringing the ark. We won't go there, but it's in 1 Samuel. I think it's about chapter 15 or so. David's bringing the ark into the, to eventually be into the tabernacle of David. So he's bringing the ark. Uzzah touches the ark, and Uzzah is slain. And so who steps in and takes the ark into his home for 3 months? Obed-Edom. Obed, a worshiper of God. And why is his other name Edom? One of his parents was an Edomite. Obed-Edom. Do you see where we're going, brethren? This gospel of the kingdom must be taken to all nations, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, and unto the ends of the world. Amen. Now, we won't go into some of these. Let's jump right into Acts, the book of Acts. We have some other places we could go, but let's move along here, because I think we have something. There's a place where I'm going, brethren. There's something I want us to see here today. Acts chapter 2. I'm sorry. Acts chapter 2. And it's good to review this. Let's start with verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Every nation was represented at this feast. This is the feast of Pentecost, and they were commanded to assemble three times in the year. So they came from every nation under heaven and witnessed this. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Behold, are not these which speak Galileans?" Do you know what Galileans mean? They were unlearned men. These Galileans, fishermen, unlearned men. Okay. But how, verse 8, and how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein they were born? Now he goes on, he names the nations. And all of the nations are named here. If they're not, they're implied. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Pergia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews, and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Okay. God was demonstrating, and he, at the same time, the 120 that were in the upper room, which included the 11 disciples, all the women, heard the Great Commission, take this gospel to all nations. Now they're seeing in reality it happening. This gospel of the kingdom is going, what does it say? At the end of verse 5, every nation under heaven was present. Do you see the desire that is in the heart of God? Let's one more verse in the book of Acts before we move on. Okay, Acts. Well, before we leave here, go to verse 16. We're still in chapter 2. And this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon what? All flesh, implying all nations. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Now, go over to chapter 8. We're still in the book of Acts. And we'll just pick up the thought here in verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, the death of Stephen, by the way. And at the same time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women and committing them to prison. Therefore, verse 4, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Paul was used, we should call him Saul, was used as an instrument to help scatter and spread the gospel, of which he, In a short time after this, is going to be a partaker and become the apostle to the Gentiles. Amen. Okay, so let's move on. I want a couple more. We're just laying a little foundation here. Romans chapter 15. And go down to verse 8. We're in Romans 15 and verse 8. Now, I say that Jesus Christ, as a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." And again he saith, "Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people." Gentiles, rejoice with the house of Israel. Why? And again, "Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people." And again, now he's quoting the book of Isaiah. Again, Isaiah saith, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Let's go back and pick up the thought of this Syrophoenician Canaanite woman. And Jesus says to her, is it proper to take the children's bread and give it to dogs? And she accepts that, humbles herself, and says, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat from the table." God is saying, "I have called this people." I'm talking to you, the faces I'm seeing here on my screen. God has called this people to take this gospel of the kingdom to all nations. Amen. Now, we're moving along here. Go to Zechariah chapter 2. This is one of my favorite scriptures. We have to read. If nothing else, just to satisfy me, as it's such a beautiful scripture. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 10. Yeah, verse 10. "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come. I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord." And what? Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be what? My people. God is desiring the nations to be his people, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. "And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee." Okay, we're moving along. I want you to go to Revelation. We're not ending the message yet because we're going to Revelation, but we're going to go to Revelation chapter 5. And verse 8. Oh, let's go to verse 6. Well, let's go to verse 5. Okay. Verse 5. 5:5 of Revelation. "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the four and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which were the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. This gospel of the kingdom is to go to all nations. Now, at the feet of Jesus, under the unction of the blood, the power of the blood, he's saying, come out of your nation. Amen. You know, I just had a thought. I read news from Israel. There's Christian Jews in Israel, and I get their news, and they call themselves Messianic Jews. And my thought is, does that make me a Messianic German? Brother Obi, Brother Emma, are you a Messianic Nigerian? Oh, there's Mike. He's a Messianic Californian. Nancy's a Messianic Texan. Let's not go there. Oh, those Texans. You know, brethren, come out. The gospel is to bring you in so that Jesus can take you out of your nation. You know, Joanne and I, we have a mixed marriage. I married a Norwegian. Don't tell my German heritage. I married a Norwegian. Come out of it, brethren. The gospel of the kingdom is to bring all nations to the foot of the throne, where we come out of our nationality, come out of that pridefulness. Amen. God help us. Jesus. All right. We're moving along here. I want you to go to, we're in Revelation. Go to chapter 9. We have not looked at this for a very long time. We're going to go down to the sixth angel in verse 14. Well, 13. We have to pick up the thought in 13. And the sixth angel sounded. Now, the fifth angel brings the message before the veil at the golden altar, saying it's time to break through the veil to enter in. Now, the sixth angel is sounding from within the veil, within the veil. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, I want you to know that, yes, the great river Euphrates represents Muslim nations. But I want to tell you something else that this river Euphrates represents. It's the cradle of civilization. This is where the first civilizations began to gather after they came off the ark. Guess who was there? Shortly, not many generations after Noah. Nimrod. And who followed in his footsteps? All of these other Canaanite empires and nations, the Hittites, and coming right down to the Babylonians. Before that, the Assyrians had power. What are we talking about? The cradle of civilization. We're talking about the melting pot of spirits. What happened to all those demon spirits that Nimrod worshipped? He was worshipped as a god. He was the first Antichrist to receive worship. And his wife Semiramis, the predecessor to Jezebel and Athaliah, Jezebel's daughter. We're talking about spirits. We're talking about spirits, ancient spirits. Where did those spirits go? They were dispersed all over the world. So we could say this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all nations. In the converse, the Antichrist is saying, my dominion over all nations will go to the ends of the world, the ends of the world, for I want all men to bow down and worship me in the place of God. Do you see two gospels working? The kingdom of darkness sending their gospel of darkness and wickedness, while the gospel of the kingdom is going to all nations. Now, we have to go on. Loose the four angels. In verse 15, and the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year, for to slay a third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. That's 200 million, by the way. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and jacinth, and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. Out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was a third part of them killed, and by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouth. For their power was in their mouth and in their tails, and their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads. With them they do hurt. And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor talk, neither, verse 21, neither repented they of their murders, of their sorceries, of their fornication, or their thefts. Brethren, we're talking about, now look at it, just look at it in verse 15. We're talking about an hour, a day, a month, a year. a set time when these four spirits are released. Now, let's just talk for a minute about this. The spirit of murder. We're talking about a time, an appointed time, where murder will be unchecked. Now we see it rising, but we're talking, when we talk about murder, we're talking about violence and lawlessness. That is how Nimrod ruled his kingdom. And he was the first of many to follow. The Babylonians were brutal. The Romans, the Greeks, they were all brutal rulers. The Catholics, they said, convert or die at the stake. How many millions of souls have perished at the hands of the Catholics? And the Muslims followed suit. Convert to Allah or we cut off your head. We're talking about a spirit of murder unchecked. Let's go on. Sorcery. We're talking about, listen, Ahab married Jezebel, a witch, a sorceress. She worshiped the zodiac, worshiped the gods of the heavens, which are demons. And she married the king of Israel and brought all this wickedness and eventually into the house of God. And eventually, her son becomes king. Let me not say that because I'm not sure I can verify that. Eventually, let's say this. Her daughter is married to the king of Judah, Athaliah. And she sets, first of all, her husband is on the throne. Then she sets her son on the throne. And then she sets herself on the throne. Are you kidding me? A witch, a sorceress, sitting on the throne of David. Look it up, brethren. What an abomination. How? My question is, how? How did she do it? Sorcery. Where did those spirits from the cradle of civilization go? They went all over the world. And now these same spirits are rising up. And here Athaliah usurps the throne and kills her own seed. Oh my God. Wickedness. We're talking pharmakia, sorcery, witchcraft. The next spirit, fornication. We're talking, there are some things that we cannot talk about. There is child sacrifice. There is human sacrifice. There is blood sacrifice going on right now. All of the sex trafficking and slave trafficking, brethren, there is some dark spirits operating in that. That's when we say fornication, we're talking about deep, dark spirits idolatry, and yes, sacramental fornication, which meant they went in and had worship, sexual worship. We can't talk about some of these things. These are these spirits. And then released, brethren, do you see this? They're released, and they're being released right now. This is why we're seeing such gross wickedness. The last one, thefts. The thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and destroy. Oh God. Well, praise God. Where do we go from here? What are the sons of God? What are the sons of God doing when all of this madness, craziness, when these deep, dark spirits are released? And I will give power. Go over a couple chapters. And I will give power. Verse 3. Unto my two witnesses. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days, 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. They're suffering. They're in tribulation, in the suffering, as sons of God. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. If any man hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut up the heaven that it rain not, in their days of their prophecy, and have power over the waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished the testimony, their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Really? Did he kill them? Or did they lay down their life? Absolutely. He did kill them, but they did lay down their life willingly, because the resurrection life was the power within them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city that spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was crucified. And they of the peoples and kindreds and Verse 9. And they of the people and kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in grave. And all they that dwell on the earth shall rejoice over them. What is happening? Through their death and their resurrection. This is the last time the gospel is preached to all nations. You either repent of this or you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. God is giving them one last opportunity, the nations, to repent. The last time the gospel of the kingdom is preached to all the nations. And then the white throne judgment begins. Now here's the message. This is what I want us to see. And let's go back where we started, Matthew 28. And verse 18, Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. This is the message that I want us to see, and I want us to get. There's coming a time when hell is going to be opened up. Murder, sorcery, fornication, theft, multitudes of spirits released. But brethren, it's happening now. The mouth of hell is opening. Hell is enlarging itself. We, the people of God, must be prepared for the harvest. And I'll tell you why. We, remember now, this gospel of the kingdom is to be preached to all nations. We are going to take this gospel to transvestites. Come on, brethren. We're going to have to minister. Somebody's ministering to those people. I read CBN, 700 Club News. Some of them are beginning to wake up and repent. Now their bodies are mutilated. Their lives are crushed. Somebody's ministering to them. They are a part of all nations. Could we, you and I, could we sit down with a transvestite and lay hands on them and pray for them? We have to. We must. We've got to get through that. Remember, we won't go there. But back in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, he's telling us to come out of our kindred, our nations, our tongues. Come out of all of those things that would hinder us. Our prejudices. Our bias. We've got to get over it, brethren. These people are going to start coming to us. Sex trafficking. We're reading stories and seeing people being raised up to minister to the aftermath of those precious souls. Some of these are sold into sexual slavery at a very young age, and some of them even by their parents. Who's going to minister to them? We, the sons of God, are to take this gospel to all nations, to all people. Muslims are turning to Christ. There is a great community of believers in Tehran, Iran. Brother Sia, a brother we know very well. Some of you know him very well. His family is there, and they're believers. They're not bowing to Allah. They're turning to Christ. All nations, brethren. God is preparing us to come out so that we can minister to all nations unbiased. I want to mention a term here. The woke community is pushing diversity, equity, inclusion. Jesus preached that. He went and showed diversity. This gospel of the kingdom must go to all nations. He preached equity. He went to a dog, a woman. He called her a dog. And she said, "Yes, I'm a dog, but I want some of the crumbs from the table." And he accepted her. Equity. Inclusion. This gospel. Listen. For God so loved the world, all nations, every nation, every language, every tongue, every religion. God is going to say, I believe it. I believe God is going to send us to Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, every kind of religion, every kind of nation, every kind of. This is our preparation. But first of all, he's saying, come out. I believe I've delivered my soul. I believe I've delivered the message God wants us to hear. But I want to go to one more verse and then we're going to quit. Go back to Revelation chapter 5. And they, verse 9. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song. What is the new song? The song that I got from heaven, which no man knows. It's by the Spirit. And they sing a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." His blood, the blood of the Lamb, has redeemed us out of our kindred, our tongue, our people, our nation. We can't be messianic Germans. Messianic Nigerians anymore. He's delivering us from our heritage, from our people, our all. Listen, the Jews were very biased. They believed that this gospel, and I'm talking about before Jesus, they believed that this message was for the Jews and not for the Gentiles. God had to give them a revelation. Think about Paul. Just think about Paul. You talk about a devout Jew who was biased. He killed Christians. And God had to open his eyes. And the very thing that he was trying to destroy, he spread that gospel around the world, and there was none like him. Do you see? What happened to his bias, his prejudice, his discriminatory attitude? Paul got redeemed by the same blood that we are redeemed by. And coming out of our nationality, out of our kindred, out of our father's house, out of all of our prejudices, so that we can minister to all nations that are going to be, they're going to be coming to us, brethren, in a very short time. I want to I want to tell you something that God spoke to me a couple mornings ago. The Spirit of God came to me and he said, say, I want to live. And he wanted me to repeat it. I said, I want to live. Do you hear me, brethren? I'm not looking for an easy way out. I don't want to die a martyr if God wants me to live. Do you understand? Let me see if I can explain what I'm trying to say. God wants sons of God here to preach this gospel to all the nations, to those coming out of the sex trafficking, the trans community, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, people who want to kill us. There's zero tolerance in the Muslim community. You either repent, you either convert to Allah or die. The same is happening in the Hindu and the Buddhist community. All of, they're very biased. But we have to be in a place totally unbiased. The only way that can happen is we've got to be redeemed by the blood. I want to live. I want to be here. This is what I'm saying. I want to be a part. I want to live. I want to live to be a part of this two witness company, this first fruit. I want to live. I'm not looking for an easy out. I'm going to tell you something else. Closing my Bible. I'm going to tell you something else that God impressed on my heart. I'm speaking to America. I'm speaking to the Western Church in England, Western Europe. I'm speaking to the Western Church. Repent and prepare for the judgment. Now, I believe it's the word of the Lord. You can correct me, you can challenge me, but I believe that the Spirit is saying to these Western nations, we somehow believe that that we have a special blessing from God, that God will never destroy the UK or the US or any of these Western civilizations. We are the chosen people. I say this, cup of iniquity is full. And God will not be able to withhold his judgments much longer. And my message to the church and to the nation of the United States, because this is where I live, now is the time for the nation and the church in America to repent and prepare for the judgment, because the judgment is coming, whether or not you repent. And so God would say to each one of us, that last song, search me, O God, search me and see if there's anything that displeases you and remove it. Come out of your nationality, your heritage. Lay it all down. God bless you, brethren. Thank you for your time.